Thank you so much, Pastor Jim, for that warm introduction. Thank you all for the amazing privilege that it is for me to be with you here today in worship as we offer God our praise and thanksgiving for all the good things that God is doing. It's such an honor and such a privilege to be with you here today. And Pastor Jim, I thank you so much for your warm invitation to come and to share today. And I am very privileged to bring you greetings from your neighbors in the Bethesda Meadow community. As Pastor Jim shared, a skilled nursing and rehab community of about 90 elder adults. And I bring you their greetings and the greetings of the staff there. And I also thank you for coming to share with us on December the 2nd. A number of you, I think, were with us in worship during our chapel worship that day. And we were so blessed by the gift of your music and your smiles and your presence and the wonderful music that your children brought to us. So thank you all so much for coming to share with us that day. The light that you brought and the way that it blessed the lives of our elders in the community was evident to me. Thank you all so much for that blessing. I'm also very privileged to bring you greetings this morning from your brothers and sisters in Christ at Carondelet United Church of Christ in South St. Louis, where I serve as pastor. I thank them for the opportunity to be with you here today, and they certainly send their greetings and their well wishes in Christ to all of you this morning. It is such a blessing to be with you. Thank you so much. I thank God for the lifting up of his word from Psalm 1 just a few moments ago. And for the next few moments, as we together preach the word that God would have for us at our heart center, I'd like for us to meditate on the strength of a tree. The strength of a tree. Happy are those, the psalm says, who trust in the Lord, for they will be like trees planted by streams of water, stretching their roots out, and who bear fruit in its season. Friends, there are surely times in our lives when it is especially important for us to remember where we are grounded, where we are planted. In these contemporary times when our lives are teased to seek every imaginable extravagance that can catch our eye, it is especially important for us to take a moment or two, here or there, to remember the place where the trunk of our lives meet what the theologian Paul Tillich called the ground of our being. It's important to remember where we are planted. It is important to recall what surrounds us in that place where we are planted, what supports us, what nourishes us, what roots us, what gives us the place and the space for our lives to grow up with each other in the love that God has given to us in Christ. I imagine that in this gathering of the church this morning, there are many among us, all of us, I might dare to presume, who know what it's like to have your soul firmly anchored in the goodness and the love of the Lord. In this moment, I imagine that there are many in our fellowship of worship this morning who can recall that it was God who nurtured you from before you were even born, that it has been God who has given you the growth growth of your life in its own season, and that it has been God who has supplied all that you have needed in those hours when you have needed provision most desperately. God has been the support for your life when the winds of trouble and difficulty started to blow, and you weren't sure if your tree could keep standing up. God has been the steady source of grace and provision that has come day and night simply to help you grow up on your way in the unique way that God has given each of you to grow up in fellowship and community with Christ. And from time to time, I'd like to propose, friends, this morning, that it's important for us to remember where we are planted and to recall the God who gives us the inspiration that we need to grow up from that ground where we are. It is important to remember the Holy One who, in the words of Psalm 1, makes us happy like those who put our trust in Him. Blessed are they, it says to us, who trust in the Lord, for they shall be like trees planted by streams of water, who bear fruit in its season. I do so praise God for the gift and the privilege that it is to be with you today, my friends, and for the next few minutes that we might have together, as together we listen for how God is speaking through the Word today, I would like to meditate with you on three of the wonderful graces given to us by God, of how it is to be like a tree in our spiritual journey. The first quality of being a tree as we are growing up in God that I'd like for us to reflect on today is sturdiness. The sturdiness of a tree. It is incredible, isn't it, how God can bless sturdiness and durability for the sake of blessing others in ways that are far beyond our own comprehension or imagination. No matter how long you have been growing up like a tree in your spiritual journey, no matter how many rings your community has accumulated upon its life, God is using each of us and all of us together as an instrument of blessing. And sometimes being used as that instrument of blessing comes in ways that aren't always obvious to us. Several years ago, I heard this wonderful old folktale that I read about in a book about a great oak tree that grew up in a village square. For decades and decades, the tree grew up steadily as God had given it provision to grow, and its branches and leaves stretched themselves wide and open across the ground that it occupied. In the summer, it would provide shade for the livestock and for the people who would come to seek respite from the heat during the day. And in the fall, those beautiful branches of that tree bore an eruption of color that filled the town square with an unmatched beauty. One day, in the life of this tree, there was a carpenter and an apprentice who came from a far-off land and were passing through the town square, going right by that tree. The apprentice, the young person studying to be a carpenter, was amazed at this wonderful gift of a tree. The apprentice marveled at all of the ways that its bark and wood could be harvested to build a boat, perhaps, or perhaps as planks for a home.
But the carpenter passed right on by. The apprentice marveled at this and wondered why the carpenter would pass by such a fabulous specimen that right there could be harvested for all of its bark to be molded and used for the provisions of human life. And as they passed by, the apprentice puzzled at this and asked his carpenter, "Why? Why would you pass by without harvesting such a wonderful tree?" And the carpenter spoke to the apprentice, turning around to him, and said, "To me, it is a useless tree. To me, its branches were so gnarled that any planks carved from the tree would cause a house to collapse. To me," the carpenter said, "the wood of the tree was so heavy that any boat built from it would sink. To me," the carpenter said, "it is a useless tree. And that, my friend, my young apprentice, is the secret to its long and nourishing and wonderful life." All that, my friends, is to say that God can use you and me and our communities in the church for purposes that are far beyond what we might even dare to imagine God would use us for. You and I and even our communities in the church might feel gnarled, and we might feel heavy and burdened sometimes. But God will still use you, you and me, your church, and the church universal for a wonderful blessing of stretching out the love of Jesus Christ to touch other lives for good. No matter where we find ourselves, who we think ourselves to be, what we might dare to imagine, God will always use us far beyond what we might ask or think or dare to imagine, as the scripture might lift up for us. Our lives do not have to be perfect. They do not have to be well-groomed to be used by our God as an instrument of blessing. Even with our rough edges, even with our gnarled places, even with the weight and burden that we might bear, God will still use us to provide a shade of love, of compassion, and of kindness to those who may come by our way and find a simple blessing simply in the sturdiness of our presence. Like all those townsfolk found the blessing of that tree summer after summer, fall after fall. I don't know much about you, church, as I come to you this morning. But allow me, just in this moment, to lift up a thanksgiving to God for you, for all of the ways that you, as a fellowship of Jesus Christ, are an instrument of that blessing, for all of those who come in this community around to provide the shade, to have the shade of the comfort of the gospel that you provide in your fellowship and community here. And I thank God for that, for you, this morning. The sturdiness of a tree. Thanks be to God for how we are sturdy like trees. And as those of us who are grounded and growing up like trees in God's grace, the second quality of being a tree that I'd like to lift up for us this morning is that trees, as the psalm says to us, bear fruit in its season. Trees bear fruit in its season. Every fall and every spring, as we are preparing in our part of the world here in eastern Missouri to witness in a few short weeks, I am amazed at how trees change. I'm amazed at how they reveal such beauty and in doing the change that God has given them to change. For creations that are grounded in one place, as trees are, trees have this amazing capacity for adjusting themselves to the seasons. The gold buds in the spring become beautiful gold leaves in the fall. The fallowness of those winter branches become a burst of leaves that give such wonderful shade during the summertime. No matter the season, in the neck of God's creation that we occupy now, friends, trees bear the fruit of life in their season. And church, I have to say this morning that for all of us who are trees growing up in Christ's grace, we too are called as trees to bear fruit in its season. We are called to be ready for our lives to move when the temperature of life changes and when the winds of adversity and difficulty blow for us or for others, to be a sanctuary and a shelter of love, a sign of God's hope and mercy in the world. We are called to be ready to let the beauty of Christ's love for all explode with the color like a tree would explode with that color during autumn. And we are called to sustain the steadiness of the wonderful shade that a tree can give during summertime when it spreads out its leaves for all of those neighbors who would come to seek shelter and a respite from the heat of life. We too, in all of the seasons of life that we go through, we are called as God's people growing up in the grace of Christ to bear fruit in its season. For whatever season comes, to change, to be ready, to be a sign of love, to be the beautiful blossom of color, of hope and mercy to the world. Trees, as we are growing up as trees, are always ready to bear their fruit in its season, as the psalm says to us. The final quality that we could go on for all day, I imagine, to meditate about the wonderful gift of being a tree. But I'd just like to lift up one final quality of being a tree in God's grace. And that is the trees growing up in the grace of God that we know through Jesus. They grow deep. Trees grow deep. It is easy, friends, for us, for the world, to pay attention to what we can see. On a tree, it is easy to notice its height. It's easy to see its color, its texture. It's easy to see its possible age and to guess about that. It's easy to see its leaves. It's easy to see or speculate what kind of tree it is. We might even guess about whether it's been a successful tree or an unsuccessful tree. It's easy to see what place it grows in, how many branches it has, if it has other trees that are growing next to it, or if it is just a tree by itself. It's easy to see the outside characteristics of the tree. But I remember Mrs. Kinehans from fourth grade science class, who taught me and our class that the most important parts of the tree, the parts where the tree is nourished and refreshed, the parts of the tree that keep the tree secure to the ground where it is growing up, the parts of the tree that are important for giving the tree what it needs to repair itself and heal itself and provide healing for other trees that it's around, All those parts of the tree are the roots. I remember Mrs. Kinehan's telling me this in fourth grade science class, and the roots are underground. We don't always see the roots of the tree. The tree may not even know that it has deep roots underneath itself, but the roots are there, and they make all the difference for the tree, even when it may not perceive it. And church, maybe the most important message that God has given me to bring to you this morning is to remind you that there are roots underneath you and roots inside of you that connect you with the source of your life and your existence. There are roots in you and in your body here as the church, in the congregation fellowship that you are gathered in today. There are roots in you that you may not even quite know about yet, but they run deep and they are nourished by the Holy One, the Most High, who gives us grace through Jesus Christ. Even without knowing much about you, I know the roots are there because I know the one who you follow. And I know the one around whose fellowship you gather. And I know the one who has provided grace and love and mercy and hope for you, nourishing those roots so that you might grow up as the tree that God intended you to be. God has planted you here, friends, with sturdiness and faith that is prepared to stretch out your branches to be the shade of Christian love. God has planted you here, friends, so that on those branches, the leaves of the fruit of your tree would grow in their season to be wonderful signs of the mercy and hope of our God. And God has given you deep roots that connect you to the ground that supports you and holds you and that helps you grow up. What wonderful trees God has made of us. What a wonderful tree, church, God has made of you. Happy are those, the psalm says, who trust in the Lord, for they will be like trees. Amen.